being in touch with Srila Prabhupada, with his consciousness, was, of course, quite an experience. Because Prabhupada's consciousness was quite unfathomable. And his consciousness was very extreme in its dedication to Krishna. But he was continuously and only inspired, on fire, I would say. And his vision was huge. When, in the very early days of the movement, before I began chanting at 26 Second Avenue, the doors were always open. And the most interesting and unique people would come through those doors to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So there was one fellow who was a very contemporary musician, and he used to come in and with a part of a piano, the strings of a piano, and bang those. And that was his contribution to the kirtan. And that person at one point was holding a concert at Carnegie Hall. And he invited Prabhupada to come. And Prabhupada agreed, amazingly enough. And he went to the concert and sat through the first half of the concert. And he watched this fellow open up a piano and bang on the strings. And then at the intermission, Prabhupada politely thanked him, and then he left. And the devotees asked Prabhupada, why did you go to this concert? And Prabhupada replied, it was in Carnegie Hall, which is one of the most famous music halls in the United States and in New York. And he said, I wanted to see whether it would be suitable for a temple. His vision, and this is when there was no Hare Krishna movement practically. Now, another way that Prabhupada acted with incredible vision. He once wrote me a letter and said that whoever you meet, tell them to chant Hare Krishna. Now this letter wasn't just a personal and private letter to Burijan. This is what this was Mahaprabhu's order, Amara Gyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. Just imagine what would happen if all of you, everyone you met, you encouraged to chant Krishna's holy names. Just imagine the effect on the world, and that was Prabhupada's vision. Another time, I was in the Philippines with Srila Prabhupada, and very fortunate to be there. And there was a big program, and it was during the time of martial law, and there were no gatherings allowed, but yet Prabhupada was coming, so they organized a gathering, and about 500 or 600, perhaps 700 people came, mostly Indians. So right before the presentation, while everyone was filing in, myself and Jagatwini Mataji were sitting alone in a room with Prabhupada, the blue room, it's called, before the room that the actors wait in before they go on stage. And Prabhupada, because my wife was an actress, Prabhupada said, oh, this is the blue room. You know what a blue room is? Prabhupada had... He knew about all kinds of things. But in any case, he picked up a little wooden flag from this little room that was part of the hotel's, it was just there, and it just broke, and Prabhupada just laughed inside. And in that simple laugh, we can understand he was saying, just see the nature of the things of this world. You pick them up, you touch them, they break, they're temporary. And then he said to us, it is my desire, the topic I'm speaking about is Prabhupada's vision, it is my desire that everyone in the universe become Krishna conscious. Not even in this world or this country, but he said, everyone in this universe. And then he said, please help me with this desire. Again, even though I was fortunate to be hearing that from Srila Prabhupada, but everyone in the universe become Krishna conscious. Do you think you can find some service with a vision like that? There is enough room for everyone. That was Prabhupada's vision. It was big. And then Prabhupada walked down into the hall, and with all the mostly, again, Indian gentlemen and their wives sitting there, he gave a lecture. And then he asked for any questions, if there were any questions. And one person stood up. He said he had a question, and he walked over to the microphone in the back. And he began speaking. And after 10, 15, 20 seconds, even 30 seconds, no one could understand what he was saying, and it never came to a question even. He was just in love with holding the microphone, basically, which is easy to fall into, I have to admit it. But, so after about a minute, Prabhupada said into the microphone, are you finished? And the man said, no. The whole room was listening, but I don't think anyone could understand the point that he was making. I couldn't. One of the devotees, who was a heavy gunda type, of course, devotees are never gundas, but he wanted to grab the microphone from him. But the leader there said, no, no, let's watch and see how Prabhupada deals with this. So the man continued to speak for another minute, perhaps a minute and a half more, and still there was no question coming. And Prabhupada said, are you finished yet? And he said, no. And he continued speaking and speaking. And then Prabhupada, for a third time, said, are you finished yet? And he said, yes. And then Prabhupada said, then sit down. And everyone cheered. And if he was so expert, because if he would have, we all saw it, what he was doing, this man was doing. But if he would have stopped him early, everyone would have sympathized with the man. And Prabhupada just waited and waited and waited till everyone understood. And then he told them in a very strong way to sit down. And that was something about Srila Prabhupada that we don't speak about so often. We speak about his wonderful instructions. We speak about his sweetness. But Prabhupada was strong. He was so strong. He was brave. He was strong. He was bold. His vision was huge. He could not have spread the Krishna consciousness movement unless he was so strong. And he was not strong on his own strength. As one of the devotees mentioned this morning, Prabhupada was, he was a Bhai Charan, he was fearless. Because look who he had behind him. He had faith, full faith, that his Guru Maharaj was beyond. He was carrying out his order. He was carrying out his order continuously with no other thought. And that was apparent, and he was aflame, on fire, with the continuous desire that everyone in the universe become Krishna conscious. And Krishna was behind him. And he saw that Krishna was reciprocating with him. And he was so bold and so brave. And yet, despite that, being bold and brave, he was so humble and so gentle and yet so sweet. And I will tell you now, I will finish by telling you perhaps my favorite pastime that I happened to be in with Prabhupada. It was so intimate by Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada did something. This is the many facets of Prabhupada. Now, I've told this to Westerners who don't have experience in India, and they couldn't understand what is wonderful about it. But I doubt that any of you will have difficulty. I had given Prabhupada a ring, a gold ring, when he came to Hong Kong. And then we traveled, and I sat next to Prabhupada on the plane for the time going to Japan. And the ring said on it, Jai ISKCON. I was very young, and there was some problem in ISKCON, and I wanted to encourage Prabhupada. So I gave him a ring that said on it, Jai ISKCON. While we were in Japan, Sudama Prabhu was giving Prabhupada a massage. And Prabhupada, his body, he was so effulgent. And it was so soft and so golden. And he was so internal. And deep. So he was getting, Sudama Prabhu was giving a massage, massaging Prabhupada's head, sandalwood oil, mustard oil, his arms and his legs. And then he saw that Prabhupada had a ring on. And I was sitting in the room, perhaps where Maharaj was sitting, and Sudama was sitting about here and massaging Prabhupada. So he said, oh, Prabhupada, you have a new ring. Who gave it to you? And Prabhupada just went, oh, someone. He just made it so personal. Like the most carefully guarded secret that he and I held together. So what a person. I wanted to say just one more thing about Maharaj, that Donna Dhamaraj and I, in perhaps 1986 or 7, maybe 88, we were walking in Vrindavan on the Prikramarg down near Madan Mohan, and we saw Radhanath Maharaj. Do you remember? And he was. There were four or five devotees with him during Kartik, and he was taking them on a Vrindavan Prikrama. You don't remember. So there were four or five devotees he was taking. And we offered obeisances, we exchanged some words, and then we continued in our different directions. Now, one time also, years 1967, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco, and Jamuna Mataji's sister, Janaki, told Prabhupada that she had a dream. And in that dream, there was a kirtan that was so big that the whole world was chanting Krishna's names. And at the end of that kirtan, Prabhupada said, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa, and the whole world bowed down. So she told Prabhupada that dream. And Prabhupada replied by saying, thank you for dreaming like that. Thank you for dreaming like that. So I think that our Radhanath Maharaj had a dream that he wanted to take many, 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 many devotees on Vrindavan Parikrama. And now we see so many devotees have come. So thank you for dreaming like that.
I spoke too long.